We are in a series called Becoming. And Pastor Mel last week preached an amazing sermon on this idea that we are all becoming something or someone, whether we know it or not, right? We're all becoming something or someone. It's just a part of life. And what she said was, your becoming comes out of your belonging. Who do you belong to? And this is something that I want to start right from here, because at the end of this sermon, I don't want you to hear that we need to do this and do this and do this and go out and to be a Christian, you need to do this and do this. It's going to sound like that, but you need to understand that the foundation of it actually is not the becoming, but it's the belonging. It's who you belong to. And my wife, Pastor Mel, she used our marriage last week, and interesting. There will be some rebuttals to some of the things that she said last week. I'm a very good debater. Can I tell you, I don't become a good husband unless I understand I belong to that marriage. If I don't belong to that marriage or that relationship, I can do whatever about becoming a good husband and it would never work. And that's the same with Christianity. You can do everything you want, but if you don't understand that you belong to God first, before you did anything, then you will just, I don't know, live doing Christian things to impress God rather than really understanding. So I have to put that in there, right? We are called to belong to Jesus, to be a part of what he is about and what his kingdom is about. And it changes everything when we know who we truly belong to. We belong to God. We don't belong to this world. We don't belong to the enemy, but we belong to Jesus. And so now, knowing our identity, knowing who we are, knowing that we belong to God, then naturally will come the becoming. Because how can you become something or someone when you don't know who it is that you want to become? Right? Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And I love this verse, and Pastor Mel shared this verse last week. Be imitators of God as beloved children. We are becoming like God, but not because of any other reason, but because of our identity, because of our belonging, because we are beloved children. So important. It's so important for us to understand that identity piece, that we are beloved children of God. Therefore, the transformation of becoming more like God will come naturally. So here's an assumption that I'm going to make, is that you want to belong to Jesus. And because you want to belong to Jesus, you want to become like Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about becoming. Now, last week, Pastor Mel started us off saying that actually, before we learn how to become more like God and more like his son Jesus, there are things that we need to unlearn. Right? There are things that we need to unlearn about ourselves, unlearn about the things that the world has taught us about our identity. We actually have to deconstruct that. You know, people pleasing and all these things, right? But from there, after the unlearning happens, then you've got to do learning, right? And here's the punchline of today's sermon, is that we become through training. We become through training. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8, and this is our main passage for today. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness have value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's writing this letter to his disciple, to young Timothy. And Paul is writing to him to help him in his journey of becoming more like Jesus. And Paul says, you want to become? You need to train. Why? Because it doesn't happen by accident. It happens through intention, through purpose. You got to want it. You got to desire it. You got to plan it. And then you've got to execute it. Can I tell you this? No one accidentally became healthy. No one accidentally, you know, lost weight, shredded, you know, became, you know, a BJJ master. No one. You know, no one accidentally got a degree in university. No one accidentally became successful in business, right? Now, I want to prove this to you. This is a risky part. This is what we call unscripted. I'm going to go off notes now, and I don't know what the next 5 minutes is going to be like, okay? But I want to show you by interviewing some people in our congregation this exact point that nothing happens by accident. So the first person that I want to invite on, and they do not know, and you will see the shock on their face when I call out their name, right? So just be real. People are like, please, no. Why did I come to church today, right? And don't worry. If you're new, I won't call you out because I don't know your name, right? Just honest, right? So first person I want to invite is actually Hal. Come on, Hal. Come on, Hal, shaking his head. So much love in our congregation. Come on, Hal. Everyone, this is Hal. Hal's a very good-looking guy. You got to come in more, camera. 2 million people. Okay. Now, Hal, here we go. Here's the question. Hal, I want to get fit. Hal's a personal trainer, by the way. That's why I've asked, right? Let's be more specific. Hal, I want to create abs. I think they're around here somewhere, right? As a personal trainer, if I come to you and go, I want to create abs, what are the first two steps that you will tell me?
Do I know you? Or do I know you. Okay, well, stop eating Donut King. And
yes.
That's one. And then KFC.
Yes.
It's maybe like once every 6 months.
Oh, okay.
And then get yourself to the gym.
Yes. And what would I do? Be very specific.
Yeah.
What would be the first machine that you would tell me to go on to create abs?
The oven's quite good because you need to eat properly. Right. So you can not be in the gym. Like you, as long as you have a good diet, you can get abs.
I can create abs.
Yes, if you do 1,000 crunches.
Right, and crunches.
No,
like wedges.
That's beside the point. Beside the point. If you do 1,000 crunches and you still eat bad food,
yes,
you're still not going to get abs. So the oven is the machine I recommend.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I just heard oven and chips. That's all I heard. Right? Okay. Next person I want to call out is James Lau. James Lau's a physio, and I'm going to ask him a question, and this is a very real life question. James, when I wake up in the morning, my lower back just hurts. I can't even get up out of bed. I actually have to roll out of bed. What is the course of action for me? Don't talk about oven and chips, okay? I've got that part.
It's pretty much over. You cannot fight Father Time. Well, straight up, you just got to do stretches, mate. Stretches and good old heat pack would help. Yeah, that's right.
What stretch? What's one stretch you would recommend?
What's going on here? One stretch. Mate, I got to assess you from head to toe. It's hard to...
That's right.
Right?
But say you did the assessment. What's one general stretch? Lower back.
General stretch. Just knees to chest. Rock your knees from side to side. Right. Yeah, get a bit of WD-40 in that.
All right. Yeah. All right, thank you. All right.
Thank you. I'll see you. Oh, send me the invoice later. Last person I call, Jenny Im. Aren't these unscripted parts fun? I should do this every week. All right. Jen, I want to become a psychologist. What's my first steps to becoming a psychologist?
First step is do a Bachelor of Psychology. And then you do your honours in psychology. And then if you want to be a clinical psych, you got to do clin psych masters. Or if you want to be an org psych, you do org psych masters and so on and so forth. Right.
Thank you.
No, and then you've got to do training and supervision for I think a year to a half before you're accredited. And then you constantly have supervision after. Right. By the way, I'm not a psychologist.
Yes, I know. Thanks, Jen. Thank you. Training, physio, education. You name any area in life. Every area in life, if you want to grow, if you want to be healthy, it takes intentionality, purpose, and a plan. Right? And I use the gym as an example, right? Just going to the gym, just like, and not having a plan, and, you know, my brother says, staring at me, I'll come to the gym, right? Can I tell you, hanging out in the gym doesn't make you healthy. I've tried it. I go hang out at Alpha Gym all the time. And they ask me, as soon as I walk in, they ask me, are you going to do anything? I say, yeah, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I might take a shower, right? And I hang out with everyone, right? Walking inside the gym, looking at the different machines, does not make me healthy, right? And even actually, I'll just do this machine today, without any plan, actually doesn't help you to become healthy. Here's the thing. It's the same with faith. When you come to church, or when you journey with Jesus, just coming, I'm just going to go. Yes, it's an important step. But actually, without a plan, without an intentional idea of where you want to grow, how you want to grow, right? It doesn't just happen. But I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions that people have around spiritual faith and spiritual maturity is that, oh, as long as I just go, as long as I just hang around, like I'll grow, I'll become mature, you know, I'll get to know God more. I promise you, that's exactly the same as me hanging out of the gym thinking that I'm suddenly going to get abs by just hanging out. It doesn't happen, like it's not osmosis, right? It's a big word, I know. Thank you, science teacher. You know, and you don't learn words like that if you don't go to a good school, okay? I'm just saying, education, very important, right? You cannot accidentally grow deeper in your faith with God. You cannot accidentally get to know God better. You cannot accidentally become a better Christian. Doesn't happen. That's seriously the same as me being accidentally healthy or accidentally educated or accidentally rich. Doesn't happen. It's planned. There's intention, there's purpose. And in the same way that when you go to the gym, you train, right? If you go to a good gym, the first question they ask you is, why are you here? What is it that you want to achieve? I want to lose weight. Well, you need to do X, Y, Z. I want to build muscle. You need to do X, Y, Z. You know, I want to start a business. Why do you want to start a business? Because I want to earn money. Okay, well, if that's the case, you need to do X, Y, Z. In the faith. It's exactly the same. And what we call it in the faith is not just training. We call it spiritual disciplines.
spiritual disciplines that we engage in for the sake of growing and training spiritually with a set goal in mind. And what's the set goal in our faith? Is to become more like Jesus. And I'm telling you now, you can't accidentally become more like Jesus. You don't accidentally become more loving. You don't accidentally become more patient. It doesn't work like that. There needs to be intention. There needs to be purpose. Disciplines. So if we want to become more like Jesus, then we need to know what Jesus was about. So I'm going to engage with us in four spiritual disciplines. It's not an extensive list, but there's more. But I think these are the four most important ones that we need to engage in to create for us a training plan. Now, once again, if this is what you want, if this is what you desire. Now, if you don't want it, that's okay. Right? Like, if this is not for you, then that's okay. You don't need to follow these, right? But if this is what you want to do, if this is who you want to become like, then these are some thoughts around that. The first one is this: biblical engagement. Jesus engaged Scripture throughout all of his ministry. When Jesus was teaching, he would regularly go back to the Old Testament Scripture to quote from it. But it's not just when he was teaching, but actually through his life. He embedded Scripture into every area of his life. One example is when Jesus is taken out to the desert to be tempted by the devil tempts him, and Jesus actually uses Scripture to rebuke the devil. We see this in Matthew 4, 3 and 4. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus didn't say, "Rack off." All right? Get out of my face. He didn't say that. He said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And that's a passage from Deuteronomy. Jesus knew Scripture and he spent time with Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All Scripture, the whole Bible, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproach, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Friends, if we believe that the Scripture is what the Scripture tells us that it is the living Word of God, right? If we truly believe that, then we need that in our lives to become more like Him. And not just, you know, the verse of the day, but we need to engage it. How do we spiritually grow? How do we become more like Jesus? One of the bedrocks is Scripture. Now, there was a study done in America. One of the thoughts that a lot of church leaders had was that for someone to grow spiritually, they need to do more. They need to do more in the church. They need to serve more. They need to go to more prayer meetings. They need to go to small groups. They need to do and do. And as you do more, you will naturally grow. You will naturally mature as a person. However, there was a study in America done at a very large church, right? And actually, they completely debunked this myth. And what they realized was doing more doesn't necessarily mean becoming more like Jesus. And so they were like, wow, this is interesting. So they did more study and they found, right, there are multiple ways that we become more deeper in our faith, more like Jesus. But the number one way that people became more deep in their faith, more spiritually mature and in growth was biblical engagement. Not just reading the Bible, but engaging, meditating, understanding, sitting with Scripture. Right? And it makes sense, right? Because even God says, the Bible is the Word of God. It's the bread of life. Right? It's spiritual nutrients. You want to grow, you got to eat well. So I just found out. Right? Spiritually, you want to grow, you need to access that living bread, the Word of God. That's why every week, Sunday, we go to the Bible. That's why we encourage everyone to read Scripture daily. Later, when we introduce our Become groups,
Our Become groups are based on this very premise that biblical engagement, learning to not just read the Bible, but engage with the Bible and how it affects our lives, is the number one way we can be more like Jesus. But friends, when we miss this part, when we miss scripture in our journey, we miss a big part. It's like trying to live without eating, trying to grow without that nutrients. It doesn't work. So the first one is this biblical engagement. Second one is prayer. Luke 5:16 says this, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus was a busy guy. In his 3 years of ministry, he was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing, he was casting out demons. He was a busy guy. He always had people around him. And yet we read verses like this that say that Jesus, even in his business, he withdrew. Not because he was an introvert, to all the introverts, but he withdrew to pray. If you want to become like someone, you got to spend time with them. You got to listen to them and speak to them. It's about the communication element, right? This is the basis of any relationship. My wife last week told everyone, 2 million people, after 7 years of marriage that she's changed. 17 years of marriage that she's changed. Best 7 years of my life. And she said herself that before she was married, she never ate McDonald's. She never drinks soft drink. And I was like, man, I saved you. I saved you from, you know. But you know what? I thought about it. And she's changed to be more like me. But you know what? I've changed to be more like her too. Right? I've accepted that eating at cafes, overpriced food, is okay. Okay, I don't mind paying $25 for a hamburger now, even though McDonald's do it for $13, right? I've learned that communication with people is actually important, right? I've learned I need to listen to people to maintain relationships, right? I've learned to become more self-aware. Now, I'm telling you, this didn't just happen overnight. Spending time with Mel, and if you hang out with Mel, you will know that the things that Mel knows and is good at and all these beautiful things about her, they rub onto you, right? And after 17 years, I tell you, like, people go, oh, Steve, you're so well put together. And I'm like, have you met my wife? She is one of the reasons why that's the case, right? If you met me 17 years ago, trust me, you wouldn't come to this church, right? But spending time with Mel has allowed me to understand more about the things that she's about. Now, prayer is not just speaking to God. Prayer is not just communicating to God, but it's communion with God. When you pray, it's not about what you say to God that's important. It's about being there with God that's important. Right? It's not just about, God, what's on my mind, but it's actually taking time to spend intentional periods, blocks with God. And as you do that, He will rub onto you. Prayer is an important spiritual discipline. Number three, fasting. Not my favorite one, but it's important. Matthew 4:2. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Jesus himself engaged in the practice of spiritual discipline of fasting. Now, what's fasting? Right? Fasting, and let's just use food, right? It's a medical thing too. Fasting is when you abstain from certain practices such as eating or drinking for the sake of something more important, right? So for example, if you've got an operation tomorrow, then they will tell you, sir, you need to fast from 6 p.m., right? So that when you go into your operation, that if you're going under anesthetic, then, you know, the food's not going to go funky on you and whatever, right? If you get a blood test, right, they say, don't eat from the morning. You have to fast from the morning. Why? So that when they take your blood test, so it is not, what's the word? Contaminated. Oh, he's so smart. Whose son is that? Okay. Contaminated, right? Oh, genius. All right. Gets it from his mum for sure. All right. Right. You fast, you abstain for the sake of something more important. Now, in the Old Testament, the practice of fasting was a part of the faith, the Israelites' life. Why? People would fast food and drink for the sake of what? A greater focus and reliance on God. When we abstain, we turn away from what we think we need to turn to what we really need, and that's God. Now, there are a few things that we can fast, right? The first one is food, right? Now, once again, you know, you can fast food, you can fast water, right? If you've got medical conditions, please see your doctor. That's so that we don't get sued later, you know? But fasting food is crazy. Like, if you've never done it before as a spiritual discipline, it's like it literally makes you go crazy, right? But it's the theory is this, that you would not eat, that you would take that time and you would trust God to actually keep you alive. That's what it is, right? Now, I've done many food fasts and prayer, and you got to pray and fast. And literally, like, you know, day two, like, things start spinning, right? You start smelling things that you've never smelled before. Right? Like, if you've done a full fast for food, right, literally, like, things go weird, right? Like, you start dreaming of, like, chickens flying, man. It's, like, weird, right? But it's a spiritual practice that removes something that is important for the sake of reliance on God, right? But there's other things that you can do. You can abstain from society and spend time alone. This one is more for the extroverts. Introverts, I know you love this, right? So one of the elements that I've been taught is there are, you know how we go to church camp and stuff, there are some people, they go away on what they call a silent retreat. So you go a whole weekend with a whole bunch of people, you cook, you hang out, but you don't say a word. And they were like, Steve, would you like to come? And I said, no, I would like to go to heaven. Because that sounds like hell to me, right? You know, but sometimes it's a bit like that, right? And, you know, the world's a bit rough. Sometimes we need to abstain from the world, right? Another one is media, social media, communication, right? If you're waking up every morning and the first thing that you're doing is you're going to your phone and you're like, Instagram, you might be thinking, maybe this isn't the most important thing in my life right now. Maybe God isn't the most important thing in my life right now, right? So in the same way, when you train your body physically, right, and I love how he's so honest and real, right? Right? For me to physically train, sometimes it's about the input, right? I just need to do more, right? I need to do those 1,000 crunches. I didn't even know how to do 1,000 crunches, right? But actually, and he made it very clear, actually, the first step for me to go that direction to become physically healthy is actually not to do something, but is actually to withdraw. Is withdraw from the things that I'm doing already in my life that are unhealthy. You know, he talked about donuts and KFC. Well, you know, they're the two favorite food groups in my diet. But, you know, let's say I move away from that, right? But I promise you, and it's so true. If I just change my diet, actually, I don't even have to go to the gym, according to hell, right? If I withdraw myself from these foods that are not helping me, then actually that's the first step to health. And it might be like that in our spiritual life too, for you. That actually instead of, it might not be go to church, it might not be pray, it might not be Bible, it might be, hey, stop watching porn. Hey, stop watching 16 Korean dramas every week. You know? Stop listening to, you know, Joe Rogan's podcast every day. Right? You got to go. No, you really got to understand, what are you feeding yourself? Right? Because what you feed is what's going to grow inside of you. For some of us, it's actually not about do more. It's actually about do less. I hear you. I hear you, Hal. I hear you. No Casey this week. I didn't hear that part. I just heard 6 days. And then God rested on the seventh, okay? Guys, if you want me to be here next week, just one meal. Okay, the last one, spiritual discipline of worship. Worship means to show love and adoration for something or someone. You know what? We all worship something. We all love something or someone. We do. You know, it might be your family, it might be your friends, it might be a sports team. When we worship God, that's what we're doing. We're honoring God and saying, God, you are important. And Jesus lived that life. His life was about honoring God. Matthew 26:30, when they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. Like they would sing. That's why we sing. We don't sing because we have a great band. Right? We don't sing because we need to fill the first 20 minutes of the service because then Pastor Steve is going to speak even longer, right? To worship, and worship isn't just singing, right? Worship is an expression of love, adoration, and praise for something or someone that deserves it. And when we worship God, when we worship God, when we have the worship of God as a part of our life, as a spiritual discipline, we take time to acknowledge who God is and recognize what He's done for us. Worship can be singing, but worship can also be a statement. God, you are awesome. God, you are amazing. God, I'm so grateful for you and what you've done. It's a spiritual discipline of when we learn. And when we're worshiping, it reminds us of who God is. Let me read Psalm 145, verse 1 to 4. I will exalt you, my God, my King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and the most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. When we read this and when we speak this out, it reminds us of who God is. And the more that we worship God, the less that we worship other things. Because suddenly, as God becomes greater and bigger, other things become smaller. And the greatest idol, right? The greatest source of worship, if it's not God, do you know who it is? It's you. It's yourself. We worship ourselves. We love ourselves. That's why we stand in front of the mirror. That's why we look at what we wear. That's why we care about what we eat. We love ourselves. Like, we don't want to admit it because it sounds selfish and vain, but can I tell you, we're all selfish human beings. We love ourselves a lot. But when we worship God, and when we put God front and center, everything else becomes smaller. And you do that one day. You do that 1 week. You do that 1 month, 1 year. Suddenly, you have perspective of how big God really is and how small everything else is. Now, once again, there are many other spiritual disciplines that we can engage in, but just for the point of today, there's four, right? Biblical engagement, prayer, fasting, and worship. But the point is this, don't engage in that to become like Jesus if you don't know that you belong to Him. You can't work yourself. You can't earn your way to becoming a Christian. You have to know for yourself that this is who I am. And because this is who I am, this is why I'm going to engage in this. Right? 17 years of marriage. I promise you. Right? It doesn't matter how many times I take out the trash, how many nights that I woke up, you know, to feed the babies. So many babies. All right? Doing that did not make me a good husband. I became a good husband because I have a loving wife who tells me that I'm a good husband most days. Right? I don't earn that. I didn't earn that role. I didn't earn that title. But in my marriage, in my union with my wife, because I know that's where my belonging is, everything then comes out of that. And that's the same with our faith. You need to understand that you belong. You belong to God. God calls you His children. Trust me, you did nothing to deserve God to call you. And yet He called you. I said, hey, even in your brokenness and weakness, come, be my son, be my daughter. And as we understand that identity, then we want to. We want to be more like Him. But here's the thing. That wanting to become, it doesn't just happen. It takes training. Spiritual maturity and growth and depth in our faith doesn't just come. It takes discipline. All right, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. I'm going to finish with this. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Friends, in your faith, as Paul says here, in your faith, do not run aimlessly. Do not box beating the air. Do not try to be a Christian without knowing where you're going and how you're going to get there. It's ridiculous. Every other area in our life, you would be like, that's crazy. Oh, I just want to go get a degree. I'm just going to go hang out on campus. It's like osmosis, like it's just like magically, but it's not going to happen. Right? Physical health, it's not going to happen if you just hang out at the gym. Intention, purpose, clear goal. And the goal for our faith is very simple, and it's to become more like our Father. Do not run aimlessly. Do not fight beating the air, but have intention. Have purpose as to receive the prize. And friends, this prize we get to enjoy for all eternity. Let's pray.